Until hope starts crawling, we're good.
Then we hang on. All right, could I have someone open a prayer? Would you do it for me, Beth?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time in which we can come together. We thank you for Jill and Meg and how it's something that they really wanted to do to encourage the young moms and how it's really encouraged us older gals too to step up and encourage. I pray for tonight, Lord. I pray that you would minister to Cheryl's heart. She ministers to us. I pray that you give her wisdom and clarity. I pray that right down to her iPad working and being able to see the changes that she needed to make. And I pray, Lord, that we would just be ready to hear what you have taught Cheryl through her life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I thought I'd give you my testimony briefly because some of you don't know me that well. Some of you have met me a little bit. So who is Cheryl Supples? Well, I'm a bondservant of Christ, coming to the Lord in 1981 at the age of 14 and being baptized and seeking the Lord's wisdom and companionship. Before I came to know the Lord, I grew up in a Christian family, so I thought, you know, through affiliation, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, right? Wrong. Desiring to come to terms with my estranged father and seeking to know what role he should have in my life and the great nudging of a very wise pastor, my youth pastor to seek God's word to find the answers to life through character and nature of God, I discovered I was not saved nor a Christian, but a girl being raised in a Christian home and church surrounded by godly and ungodly people. A painful year reading through the Bible cover to cover, I became aware of me, the sinner, and repented of my sinful heart and ways. Following Christ lifted the burdens of my broken home, gave me great peace of Christ and a desire to share God's character and nature with others. To follow Christ's commands and share the gospel, to submit to teaching of the gospel, to serve rather than to be served, I have learned much on this journey, made many mistakes, have been very overzealous like Peter, have been both a Martha and a Mary, been Rachel thinking, I got this, I can help God. I've helped my husband too much, and I could go on. But being sanctified and continued growth from reading God's word, studying, listening to good elders, reading books like Stepping Heavenward by Elizabeth Prentice and Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan are two of the most important books I've ever read outside of the Bible. Being able to apply God's word to your heart to recognize sin in my life and be able to see how I affected others by my actions and listening to and giving godly criticism. My ways and my family are definitely being sanctified, some days more than others. I pray I share with you openly and balanced about that journey, good and bad. Please do not think this all went perfectly. I've lain prone on the floor, crying out in adoration for the Lord, confessing of my sins, thanksgiving, and supplication. I entered a homeschooling, totally unprepared, unworthy, and fearful, but it drew me close to the Lord. It's my desire to fear him and please him. I've been the wife to my husband for 30 years, mother to 4 children, desiring to have them seek the Lord also, and now watching them step out in their own faith, starting the adventure of adult children. Some of you are having toys, bigger toys. 25-year-old daughter Tabitha's been married 2 years. My son Colgan is 21 years old. Rose is 19 and Maggie is 16. Younger 3 all being at home. Crossed the bridge to 50 last year with my husband. So planning to go and be drawn closer to Christ, I seek 1 Peter 3:15 to know the answers for the hope that's within me. Know what I believe and why I believe it. Each of the chapters in this book that we've been provided with here for Excellent Wife and Training is a part of sanctification. I pray that we can come together. I pray that the chapter I'm on becomes your favorite. Before we start on the new chapter tonight, though, I think it's so important that we review a little bit about the chapters we've been over. Remember, don't feel burdened. About this time in a Bible study, chapter 4, especially on something that's supposed to be changing us, we start to think, oh my word, there's a lot to do here. God's got a lot to do. And I have a lot to learn and improve on. Stand firm. All the other ladies here that are older will tell you, you'll look back a year from now, and you'll say, look what God has done in my life. Mm-hmm. 5 years from now, you will be amazed. And 20 years from now, you won't even believe it. And I have to say, that's where I was preparing for this lesson. You're going to blink, and the toys will be gone. And they'll be replaced with wedding pictures. Right? I implore you to work on first things first. So if we could, the handout that I provided you with, I've got chapter one. Could I have someone read the great quote that we have there for laying the foundation?
Allow the Bible to be your grid through which you pour every other idea. Now let's get back.
Right? And if we don't start there, I love the way this book is written, the way it's laid out. It's such a stepping stone. And if we do not look through that grid first, then we can just close the book and go home. There's really not any reason to teach more. I love the quote, friend, let me encourage you here. You can start attempting all household and family organization and management laid out in this book, but without the power of Christ working through you, you will likely struggle and fail. Now, as Jill shared with us, take a minute. What verses are you seeking? Do you have the gospel? How are your personal devotions coming? Did you gather your materials? Did you find a place or a time? Is it while your children are awake or asleep? And I brought over that little basket there is what I sit beside me. And it's moved many a time with me. Probably going to die soon. But I gather certain books that encourage me. And sometimes I'm not ready to read. I need my heart still. So you'll see there's the Gospel from a Ligonier Conference CD MP3 series. Or turn on RefNet or something. But still your heart first. And then get into God's Word. And find materials that'll help you grow. The big room binder, I have like the attributes of God. And if I want to look at a chapter of the Bible, how do I look at that chapter? After I've read it, I love John MacArthur, you know, read it 3 or 4 times. Then who wrote it? Who are they talking to? What are the main points? You know, write that out to yourself. The Partners book does an excellent job too. I'm just starting to do that a little bit different that way. But The Heart of Wisdom had some great... What's the cause and effect of Scripture? What's the application of Scripture? I encourage you to do that before we do anything else. Once you've done that, then you're ready for prayer time. And if you don't have any cards, I brought a whole bunch of different kinds of note cards. And I have little tablets. My kids were really excited about the tablets. Maybe your kids will be too, even if you take it home to ask your children. But there's different sizes of note cards. Find what works for you, what the pocket of your purse is, or that special moment, because if we don't do this, none of this will matter. And so prayer time. Are you addressing your frustrations, your sins, your joys, and your blessings? I love the acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And then, does anybody have any feedback on that chapter? Anything that you want to share? Did anybody not have a place and now has a place where they do that? Or they've had a place all along and it's really going well? Or anybody want to share anything about it? Any hope for others?
Well, I just wait for everybody to fall asleep, including mm-hmm. my husband. And right. Everybody, and I'm just memorizing verses on my phone.
Right?
Mm-hmm. My husband, he'll be like, he'll talk in his sleep and I'm like, I think he's talking to me. Or he'll laugh and I'm like, are you okay? And I just keep, you know.
Right.
In the bed. It's so fun.
Right? But that's what it's about. That's what we have to do. And then there will be a time when they can join you and watch you mm-hmm. and model what you do, and it's cute when they mimic you. I encourage you sometimes when they get old enough to have their special basket or whatever it is for their Bible things. And it was always a joy to see the kids grow up and do those things with us. All right, well, then we'll go to chapter 2, Spiritual Disciplines and Growth. And could I have you read the quote for me, please?
spiritual discipline and growth.
Mm-hmm.
The word discipline has disappeared from our minds, our mouths, our pulpits, and our culture. We hardly know what discipline means in modern American society, and yet there is no other way to attain godliness. Discipline is the path to godliness. You must learn to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness.
We're going to see this theme again tonight. Charles Bridges wrote an excellent sermon on virtues of womanhood, and I've tried to paraphrase it down into a couple of paragraphs, and this is what we have to be about. The Holy Spirit can empower us spiritual growth. What we do by our part, by memorization, evangelism, solitude, fasting, journaling, stewardship, worship, and church. In there, I have a hymnal. I am a horrible singer. You will not hear me sing. A lot of times I'll watermelon. I'll just stay away. I've been kicked out of the choir. I'll tell you about that someday. But anyhow, but I love the words of the hymns. They make me cry. If they're a good hymn and they're taking you through scripture, it should move you and teach you doctrine. So I like to do that in my quiet time. And then we have chapter 3. And that was fun last week, wasn't it? Or 2 weeks ago. Love your husband. Lisa, could I get you to read that one? You wrote such a beautiful thing for her husband's birthday, so that's why I'm picking on you.
At foundational level, the difficulties in our marriages do not come first because we don't love one another enough. They happen because we don't love God enough. And because we don't love God enough, we don't treat one another with the kind of love that makes marriages work.
Right. And we see Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Keep in mind, children are not a part of the one flesh. They are bonus rewards. And as you notice, I'm pulling out one quote out of each chapter. I find if you really want to make changes, as you study a book like this, it's always good to find one phrase, and you'll remember the whole chapter. Mm-hmm. That's a good memory technique.
Did you get that from How to Read a Book?
Yes. Jill knows my secrets. I don't want to be smart. But anyway, how to love your husband. Did you make any changes? I know I did. I don't know, my husband hates sweets for breakfast. He's like a sweet eater. How often are you reviewing your list of how-tos? I thought, I need to add this to my devotion time, to my prayer card, to my... Because, you know, after 30 years, you think you know them. So, well, now on to chapter 4. And could I get... Shannon, would you read it?
Sure. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you plan nothing, it should come as no surprise when you accomplish nothing.
Right? And Tim Challis. And if you guys don't know who these people are, they are amazing, interesting people to read and listen to. Now, you can't listen too much to Jay Adams. I don't know that there's any recordings. I think there wasn't anything recording one. But Alistair Begg, he is so... engaging. And Tim Challis has a wonderful 3 minutes on Thursdays about books, and you know, he traveled all over Europe and followed the Reformation Trail and fell off a cliff and got hurt. I mean, you can just find out all kinds of cool things about him. I love to listen to him and read his book reviews. Like if I want, before I read a book, I always check, does he have a review on it? Even on the 3 minute Thursdays when he gets the most amazing reviews. So, for this chapter, my prayer has been, God, give me the home you want me to have for your purpose. And I even wrote that. I started because I didn't have the little booklet that she has in the resources, so I downloaded it. And this was what I would have done if I was taking this class for the first time. I would have made me up a binder and downloaded the pages to start a household manual. And I did this years and years and years ago. And it has bloomed into this monster that I've had to weed down. Mm-hmm. And actually even thought about making, you know, get one of those super big binders. But I realized, no, that's clutter. Right? How organized would I be? So.
I like how it has our church name on the front.
So this was the lady that I felt. she is a Seventh-day Adventist, but I just want to show you, I really did have a binder like this, and it has everything from how to deal with misunderstandings. This one I kept handy for when my children or me and my husband or whoever has a misunderstanding. And it started with just this information, but it went to all kinds of things, and you can peek at it later if you would like. But just kind of became Rob and I's mission statement, our goals for the kids. I think Lisa knows on one of these. I have, we always had our kids write goals, and Maggie's was to read the Matthew Henry commentary. She was about 8. It was really cute. She hasn't finished yet, by the way. But, you know, but seeing the organization, she felt she could tackle that one thing at a time. So if we remember to be young at heart, we'll see that we can tackle all these chapters and make changes and one step at a time, though, and follow the order. I would really suggest doing the chapters in order if you have things to work on. So God is a God of order. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone, and will make him a helper fit for him." And women's role is described in Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looks to the ways of her household. And this I'm getting from, I like to show you where I'm getting things from, because if you're like me, I need it again and again and again. Now, this is Chapel Library. You can go online if you're a techie person and go to their website and type this in, Virtuous Womanhood. It'll pop right up. You can print it out, or you can send them a little money, a donation, and you can get 10 copies or one copy. And they are, the sermons, they try to pick the best of the best. And so here's Charles Bridges, and here's what he has to say about virtuous women. And I tried to paraphrase it because it was a whole sermon. So, truly her price is above rubies. With such a jewel for his wife, the husband has no misgivings about his home. Is the home of his heart. I thought that was such a neat saying. He has no misgivings about his home, is the home of his heart. How she may please her husband, 1 Corinthians 7:34, doing him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her husband's comfort is in her interest and her rest, Ephesians 5:13 27. It describes a godly matron in her domestic responsibilities. It's being a godly woman professing godliness, adorned with good works, 1 Timothy 2:10. A Mary no less than a Martha, one thing is remarkable. The standard of godliness here is exhibited, that of a righteous recluse shut up from active obligations under pretense of a greater sanctity and consecration to God. So we can't hide away, can we? We have to stay there. We have to be out and involved. One half, at least, of the picture of a virtuous woman is occupied with her personal domestic industry. What a rebuke also does this convey to silent, indulgent activity. The virtuous woman goes before her servants in diligence, no less than dignity, imposing nothing upon them which she had not first found upon herself, ruling her household most efficiently by governing herself first. So I just loved how he said, we have no excuse to be lazy. We have no excuse to not do it. We have no excuse to not to hide away just because we're keepers of the home or taking care of our home. And that through scripture we can see how to do it. And so he lays out all those things for us. We must consider Titus 2, younger women are to be taught by older women. Sometimes it's a person, sometimes it's by a Christian woman who bless our lives. I've been mentored by a lady, Mary Beth Jagger, for 11 years. After I was saved and after I was confirmed in the Methodist Church, she took it on as her role to teach me how to teach Sunday school, how to read my Bible, you know, how to pray, how to do those things. And so we need to be there for other people. Another woman then, when we moved to Sarasota, was Barb Stiers and Marilyn Whittlesey, my mother, my grandmothers. Then later on, a lady in Inglewood, Nancy Wipka, and latest, Mary Parker, and now Betty at church through the Partners Program. Reading Elizabeth Prentice, Stepping Heavenward, and Edith Schaefer, and Elizabeth Elliott, I consider those to be my other mentors through books. Edith Schaefer, in The Art of Homemaking, she addresses how the housewife and working woman, we all have masses of things to get done, and we're going to get into the how-tos here in a minute. She talks about how we all have things to do lists, right? And we could do them. We could put them on the back of an envelope. We could put them on a scrap of paper. We could steal our children's homework, right? But what would be a way that would keep this from being a mundane, boring, ineffective way? Would one, we can use like the household manual, right? Or when we get these lists, we could even decorate our shopping lists, our cleaning lists. When we post them, we could put them in a frame that's attractive, have the kids paint it, do everything. She encourages you so much to make all of your work beautiful as God created us to be beautiful. And I just love, you know, putting out a tablecloth, even for yourself, for your devotions. It's beautiful that it inspires you in the home. The work of others in your home will add cheerfulness. Another inspiration in the home and the duties or chores that need to be completed, when they're posted beautifully and carefully, it shows that you really care about them too, because we have a trip sign, or we have, you know, things around our homes. But if we put the list up and it's in a shabby piece of paper and it's not typed up or it's not well written and not everyone can read it, what does that say to your family about how you want those tasks done? It sets the example. Another woman, Elizabeth Prentice, now she did chapters 1 through 3, you know, that like are written here in our curriculum. And I want to read you what women said about her. Now, this lady was a pastor's wife, and she wrote many inspiring teaching books. And she took her life experience of being a pastor's wife and tried to put it in fiction to help us to lead godly lives. And so this friend of hers writes this little opening about her. And it says, probably the weekly meeting for Bible reading and prayer, which she conducted, was her closest link with the other woman at Dorset, because she was always busy visiting the poor and doing her own Bible study and preparing Bible lessons. But here's about her home. She had in a remarkable degree the lovely feminine gift of homemaking. She was a true decorative artist. Her room when she was boarding and her home after it was completed with bowers of beauty. Every walk over a hill and dale, every ramble by the brookside or through a wildwood gave her to some fresh home adornment. Some shy wildflower or fern or brilliantly tinted leaf, a book of moss, a curious lichen, a deserted bird's nest, a strange fragment of rock, a shining pebble would catch her passing glance and reveal to her quick artistic sense of possibilities of use that were quaint, original, and characteristic. One saw that from afar, that hers was a poet's home, and it permitted to enter its gracious portals. The first impression deepened into certainty. There was a strong individuality about her home, and especially about her own little study, as there was about herself and her writings. A cheerful, sunny, hospital Christian home, far and wide, its potent influences reached its reach, and it was a beautiful thing to see how many another home, humbly or stately, grew and blossomed into new loveliness. And one thing that Edith and Mrs. Prentice said, whether you live in a mud hut, whether you live in a palace, whether you live in a large home or a small home, always make it beautiful through your inner beauty of God's word. And I love that about them. They just drill that home over and over and over again. And people are inspired when your home's beautiful, and even your organization. All right, well, now let's go to our text in chapter 4 on organization. And I'm sorry, I want to back up 1 minute. That's what happened, it got deleted. I had some Bible verses for us to look at before we get into that. And the first we looked at was God is God of order, right? Number two, where the virtuous woman seeks to be the Proverbs 31 woman. Three, she's a helpmate to her husband and comes to be served, not to be served, Genesis 2:18. Older woman teaching and loving husbands. And it's not if her husband is worthy, is it? It's because he's our husband. Submission to the husband. Keeping a godly home with excellence for the husband and children and family. Not to be revealed to any scripture is the godliness of woman professing godliness, peppered with good works, the fruit of her obedience, and transformation by the word. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. And nine, bondservants are to be submissive to their masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that everything they adorn, the doctrine of our God, our Savior. And number 10 was to encourage you to look at Titus 2:10 through 15 after we go through all those. Now we'll turn to the organization part. So once we have all that, we're ready to organize and inspire and move forward. And I believe it's, what, page 29? Yes. All right, so on page 29, we have to have a system, like this binder here, a household management system, or you have to write everything yourself. Has anybody, did they on their own come up with all these lists and ideas all on their own? Did anybody do that? Or did everybody buy a book? Or haven't got started yet, because I didn't do this right away either. Okay. I just thought maybe they had a system. Because that's one thing I didn't want to do tonight. If some of you are super organized and already have your houses all organized, I wanted to show you how to add the part to keep it going, keep it lively. We must have a plan. So if we look at, I love this diagram. I am a huge diagram person. So
that's
Lena's
magic, by the way.
Oh, well, then we need to say thank you.
Yes, Helena made that.
Right. We look at these charts like this. I think they're beautiful. They show you how to look at all your scores on a daily, weekly, monthly, and annual way. I don't know if anybody else printed out the manual. But they're all broken down here, smaller, so that you can post them in your bathrooms or in a binder like this for your children. Now, I always kept one master binder for me, or you could save the file now on your laptops and iPads. And then I always had one that I had the kids and my husband. I said, where do you guys want this? Do you need it posted on the refrigerator? Do you need it in the bathroom, you know, on the back of the door to clean the bathroom? I had lots of family meetings, because what I have in my head, I find isn't always what five or six other people works for them. Maybe I was putting it up too high. I had kids tell me, Mom, you posted it up here, I can't even read it. I said, sorry, you know. So in organization, I think we have to look at that. Plus, children are amazing. They add little things to it. They don't know not to. Did you know you're missing the corner over there, Mom, every time you do the bathroom? So if you get them involved, they're great until they learn that that's more work, you know? But we gave lots of rewards for people taking over organization. And so they liked it. And they liked knowing exactly what I was going to come in and expect done. My husband, too, he really was very happy to know that there was a list. So when you're posting these things, I let kids at different times, we had design contests for the family binder, whoever could design the cover or paint a nice picture frame so that the list looked nice hanging somewhere that we didn't really want it, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that all came together. I had to be flexible. I had to be open to change. I had to realize over the years, I don't know about the other moms here, but I could come up with this wonderful plan and it really did not work for anybody but me. And if I acted like it was mine, my family let me have it. Not in a bad way, in that I could do it. I could clean the bathroom that way, you know? I loved in the text about, you know, making sure people have the tools that they need, which comes up later, the ones that they like, the Windex they want. Is it worth it? It's much more worth it to work together. Knowing what you can get done realistically is a part of this expectation. Really letting a small child, even though you think they can do it, one kid is meticulous and scrubs the corners until you could eat out of them. Another child says, I'm barely going to wipe that corner and I'm gone. You know, you have to find out what each one of your team members is going to do. And maybe as they get older, once they've all been trained, they're not asked to do that part of the organization anymore. Maybe you're going to be the lady that cleans the corners in your bathroom. You know, is it worth it? Anybody else have any feedback or questions about this part? I think this part's pretty straightforward. You need to read or pick a system and then be open to godly criticism. And when people attempt to do things for you, you must praise them. Who's going to work for somebody that isn't thankful? None of us. And I love Susanna Wesley. She said, you praise any good attempt. Even if it doesn't meet the standard, eventually it will. And I've tried it both ways, saying, oh, no, 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 no. If I be quiet and praise, it happens. If I criticize, nobody comes back. And I'm probably the same way, right? All right, purging. Our next section, back on page 29. Was purging. Now this one, for me, depends on your philosophy, but it allows for creativity and inspiration, not desperation, right? We want to be inspired in our homes and have the resources we need. We don't want to be so purgeful. I've had friends who call me, we threw this away, we threw that away, we threw this away. Can I borrow your blah, blah, blah? Well, yes, I'm a house of resources. And you may borrow it, but I've seen this go too far sometimes too, you know? If you're gonna purge so far that every week you do this until there's nothing left, then you're also buying things too much. So I kind of see this one going back and forth sometimes. And I like the ideas of that I put on here. I tried to look around for some more purging ideas. Because we are a house of resources. We like to have resources for Bible study, for activities for homeschooling, and we like to share resources with families. So, you know, you can get rid of a garbage bag a week. You can pick 27 things to get rid of. You can do 15 minutes a day. A random number of things per month. I thought those were all good ideas.
What is the 15 minutes a day? That was one of the
things that mm-hmm. I heard. Yeah. You can go around the house and for 15 minutes a day, find little piles of clutter or whatever, set a timer, and they just said, do that.
Okay.
Now, I know about you, but I try to do that all the time. When it's a newspaper ad or a flyer in the mail, I try to make sure it hits a dumpster, doesn't even get in the house. But, you know, for 15 minutes, look at a room and say, what is sitting here that we don't need, we don't use, we don't even enjoy dusting? I think that's when you get rid of it, you know.
Question for you, Cheryl.
Yes.
What do you do with a kid who doesn't like to throw anything away, even if it's not useful? I have a child that's like this, like even if it's just an empty container.
Yeah, I know all about those.
Plastic,
We have those. I said it has to fit into a container, and it has to be something that doesn't draw bugs.
Draw bugs.
Because I have children that, we go to Disney and they wanted that Japanese bottle with the little marble in it. I know there's a name for it, but you know, they want to save those. Well, when the cockroach friend is in there, he's not my friend, and that's not my bottle anymore.
I had a child give up 3 of 5 dresser drawers to keep their stuff.
Right.
They kept moving their clothes up.
Yeah. But we did do containers, and we, I won't say which shop, but I bought X number, and I said it has to fit that way, just like it does for me. I like to change things seasonally. Mom has 4 buckets of seasonal things. I'm not allowed anymore, because I would fill the house with seasonal things. So, you know, we all have to learn to set limits, and it is painful.
I mean, I've even tried saying, you know, you can't get new things
right
until you get rid of other things. Well, they'd rather keep
yes
the old things
right
than get new things.
Right.
I don't know if it's sentimental. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the issue
and
is.
Then they get into a stage where all of a sudden you'll just find the bags of the stuff sitting somewhere you don't want them right before company comes. That never happened in my house. You know, it's like all of a sudden they clear it out when they want something else. I think there's a trigger for all of us, and you probably haven't found it yet.
Yeah,
as they get older.
Yeah, one wanted a computer desktop when they were over 18. They amazingly could get rid of all kinds of things out of their and plop them right in my room. Or I find them in my closet. They still didn't really get rid of them. So, yeah, that's. Anybody else have any ideas for?
I like the 1 year rule. Like, if you haven't touched it for a year, it could be a seasonal item.
Yes.
Like, you have your turkey roasting for Thanksgiving. Like, if you use it at least once.
Right.
You know, then you can. And it gives the space for
it. Right.
But I tend to stick to that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's a very good rule, though. Because if you didn't use it this year, you're probably not going to use it next year, or clothing-wise and things also, you know? Unless, for those of you that are having babies, and that's a little different, but, you know, those other things, no.
Thank you.
Right? So that was mine on purging. Now, cleaning. I love the list that she has in here. And the same thing was in my original binder, very similar, I compared them. And you know, having a list for cleaning, letting everyone know exactly what everyone else is doing, kind of ends the squabbling between siblings. Here's the list, here's how it got done, here's what they're expected to have. I like the list of cleaning supplies that she had in here. If you download the 40-page booklet, to me, it has just about everything you would need in this 40 pages, because the rest of it you're going to need to customize. And that's the resource at
the
back.
It says Homemaking 101.
Yes, and it's by Taylor Flannery. And I printed it out, so if anybody wants to look at it. And then I did print out a new copy, marked up and everything, of the one that the lady that I used for years, just so you could kind of compare and see. There's some different things. Like, she had a more homeschooling focus. But what I liked is I felt she was a little more thorough about cleaning lists. So you could kind of peek at that and see if that would be something. She doesn't sell it anymore. I've been trying to contact her for months and see if she sells it anymore. She doesn't sell it or give it away for free. She changed to a different style and sells something else. But I just think those are the best way to go, is to find your niche with a book, or you can order the pre-made binders and whatnot, but that's how you really get your home organized and with the cleaning. I've had some funny experiences with kids and the cleaning. I had a nephew come to visit for the summer, and we have tile and they have carpet in their house in Iowa, and I took him to serve late one night. He's about 6 or 7 years old, and he wanted to pick up my mop. And I thought, why is this kid going to pick up my mop? Well, I let him pick up the mop. Do you know he wore that mop out over the summer because he picked it out? And he mopped the floor. I don't think my floors have ever been so clean as when this child stayed for the entire summer. And I'm telling you, it really taught me, though, and I started doing that with other things. I started taking people along with me and said, you know, when we changed how we're doing things, and we've had to be fluid over the years. You know, for a while it was a rotation basis. Once a month you cleaned the bathroom, and then you cleaned the kitchen, and then you did whatever. And now that they're older, we have adult children living in the house, it's more of a, you're good at the kitchen, you like to clean the kitchen, you've got it down, you do that, you clean the bathrooms, you mow the yard and take care of trash. But I've gotten so, sometimes I'll say, you know what, you have $30 to budget for cleaning that. Go to the store, get the materials, learn how to do it, know how much it costs. They take far better care of the cleaning supplies when they know how much money I'm giving them, and then they actually research them more than I do. So it's been a great thing as they've gotten older. I started at about 13, having them research what materials and what things to do cleaning-wise, and they go to town on it. I had another nephew come, and he was fascinated with the toilet bowl brush, and he cleaned my toilets all summer. Again, if I would have had the cheap 99-cent one there, my toilets wouldn't have been so clean. And how do you control, you know, how these things get done really depends on our attitude and our presentation. I really feel that, like in the heart of homemaking, make it attractive. We make everything else beautiful and attractive in the home, and then we hand this list to them, and when we do things, and I love how even Edith talks about when we hang up the weekly menu on the side of the refrigerator, or I love these new chalkboards and whiteboards that you announce what the menu is. How much more is your family going to enjoy that, and how much more are you going to enjoy it if you, instead of it just becoming something main over and over, the same thing, if you spend a little creativity and let your family members get involved in that. So I just encourage you to add that part to your day, if you can. Now at first, it was more than enough just to print out the black and white sheet, and it was somewhere that we knew where it was. That was a big deal. I'm not saying, this is further on down the road so you don't get bored and can involve your whole family. All right, any questions about cleaning? Because really it's gonna depend on your house, your lifestyle, and what you can accomplish there.
I have a question. When your kids, when you have four kids in the house and they're all in age where they were able to clean,
mm-hmm.
they're all like on the rotation and stuff, what did you find that like helped free you up to do? Like mm-hmm. what were you doing during that time?
Almost none, really. And we took it as training time. We felt it was pre-work time. We almost always worked alongside our kids. We found it was a natural time, and I've talked to Shannon a little bit about this. How do you also connect with your children? How do you find time to talk to each child for 30 minutes? I always made that a goal, to talk to each child or my husband, 30 minutes uninterrupted. Well, if we did a cleaning chore together, we were there in it together, and we could shut the door to that room, or we were doing it, and so that's what we did a lot. I never used that as a time really to escape. Now I found when we did date night, mm-hmm. our kids really got into cleaning the house super fast there, and they loved it. They would like almost push us out the door as they got to be teenagers. So they got to cook a frozen pizza. They didn't have to make as much food. They did it, but so maybe date night. But I always loved it. I came home, the house would be very clean on date night. But that I just couldn't figure out. We tried the like 30 minutes come in our room, and then we were up until like midnight, 1 in the morning, and that didn't work. But I guess we used it. And we wanted them to know how to work. And one of the things Colgan got complimented at Publix was that he found ways to get jobs done that other people couldn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm just asking because I'm curious about how it changes.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, like, when you have really small kids, you are doing all the
cleaning. Yes. Yeah.
So,
you really are.
You know. It's
yeah.
just interesting to think about that phase.
Yeah. I'm sure other people, maybe somebody else, do you use it to free up time for something? Or do you find there's still
a lot of
things?
Different things. Sometimes I'm looking for something to floss.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the main one that came to mind, but there was a time where I realized I kind of worked myself out of almost every job,
mm-hmm.
so there's almost a managerial
right.
effect that's going on. You're just making sure all the kids are doing
right.
what they're supposed to be doing, following up,
For me, it's like planning what's coming next in school, because that's usually after chores.
Yeah.
But there was a point a couple of years ago I had to remind myself that my children's jobs were my jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is all my work. Because
right.
sometimes when you hand it all off, you forget. They're doing my work. I'm
yeah.
elderly, I'm actually responsible
yeah.
for it. And it kind of changed my attitude when I was getting on them about stuff.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, wait, that's my job. Actually, they're helping me.
Right.
So, and I'll be getting all these jobs back.
Right. Go ahead.
Yay.
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, no, I got
oh.
the jobs, Ben.
Yeah. that was a point I was trying to make indirectly, and is that everybody is not helping us. We're here to serve them. They're not here to serve us. And when we have that attitude, because I have slipped into that before, and when I treat it as they're doing these jobs to help me, and when it doesn't happen, then I'm really mad at everybody. Well, I should be mad at myself, because it's my work that's not done. You know, so that's, it's really important.
Well, the other thing you said is also very important to remember, and that's that one of the reasons our kids do work is to learn how to do work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I may not need you to do the laundry, but you need to learn how to
right.
do the laundry.
Right. Right. And that's
the
approach.
And we have a whole chapter
took.
On chores for children.
Right. Right.
Coming up later.
And that's the way we took it. We just felt like it was training time, managerial time. And we even talked about, I guess more and more, they would tell me how the job would work better if they could
mm-hmm.
do it. And we changed job things,
mm-hmm.
you know, as they got better at it and took them on.
I had to tell my kids a couple of times, though, if I was your real boss, I would have fired you by now.
Right.
yes. Straight talk.
Right.
Straight talk for mom.
Question. If the kids ever did, like, a bad job
mm-hmm.
Cleaning something, how was your reaction? What was your reaction towards them?
I had fun with that. I'm a nut, though. My husband will tell you that I find creative ways to be bossy.
Okay.
And I did things like the garbage didn't get out, so I named everything. Like I said, Mr. Blue is very lonely, Colgan. He hasn't been emptied today. His stomach is so full. And I hung a chalkboard above the garbage can, Mr. Blue, because he was blue, and so that Mr. Blue could communicate with Colgan. It kind of got to be a game. If the cutting board didn't get washed, I'd say, you know, Mr. Cuddy is very sad because he's sloppy. And I would write it right on the back of the cutting board with a permanent marker. Or Mr. Cuddy needs to hang out with Mrs. Teapot because that's where she goes, you know. You know, and so our kids would be like, okay, Mom, what are you trying to say? But that's the way I did it. I tried to think about how I would feel if I did give it my all, and I tried to do it, or that I messed up. And I guess I feel I have very pleasing children. They wanted to honor God. And that's something when we get to the devotions, I'll share about when I do the one on devotions. Richard Adams has a beautiful book on the duties of children and parents. And we tried to really drill home that they had duties and we had duties. And so they were always trying to please us through their chores. I never really have had to say much. They would be more crushed, but that's my kids. And I, you know, no, that's not always true, but that's, they've always been very crushed if they didn't kind of meet the standard, you know. So it might be for some that are
maybe
harder.
Maybe they didn't rename things, so. It's so soft. It really still comes back to me.
Yep, yep. So I usually, you know, or their bed would be sloppy, and I would leave a note, and I would say, oh, I feel so grumpy. I had lots of stickums and a Sharpie. So I just tried to always, but again, you know what? I will tell you, I know Janet's read this book.
That one?
No. No, you haven't read this one.
No,
it wasn't you. It was you. If you read about Katie's life and how she goes through, and you need to read this book like 4 or 5 times in your lifetime, because she starts out as a young 16-year-old and gets saved, and she's so on fire for the Lord that she can't even draw or paint because that's taking away from time with the Lord, to, you know, the other extreme, where you're running around doing everything of the Lord that you think you're helping him,
to being married and finding out what are the pitfalls of being married and pleasing your husband and what your expectations. And she has to care for her father-in-law. And I do realize I skipped something in the organizational part, because I don't know if any of you have had elderly parents live in your home or had to care for anybody else that's kind of outside of your immediate family. We've had that happen in our family life 4 or 5 times. And how do you integrate those people in is another part. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think taught me to be much more positive, because when someone who's not your family member is living with you and you're helping them out, how do you motivate them? So I thought, well, if I would motivate them that way, I have to motivate my real family that way too. Mm-hmm. I gotta be as cute. But this book, though, will walk you through many of those steps. It's a quick read. It looks thick, but it's really just little diary entries of her, and it reads very quickly. I read it in about 3 days. It was just one of those things I kept picking up all day long, and I thought, so true how your journey is. What would you say, Beth? Anything else?
Same thing. It was very good. How she pretty much got humbled.
Yes, that's the
right word. Very prideful in the beginning and then humbled.
Right, and to her death. It's a really neat book.
Cheryl, one of the verses that we used with the kids too,
mm-hmm.
when there was the, they did it halfway or whatever,
yeah.
was the Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord,
right.
rather than for men. Because
right.
because we can see each other, what happens is, you know, you're doing it for mom, you're doing it for me, do it for
right.
And even we, you had to be careful with that. It's like, well, no, you're ultimately, just like
yeah.
as you get older, going to be working for the Lord. So.
That's right. And we said, that's your witness.
Mm-hmm.
We always said to them, your witness is how well you did that. My witness, too. Did I sit there and watch TV, or did I get up and do what I was supposed to do? You know, it's very convicting as you go through this, very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we need to move on to planning. And the master plan allows everyone to know what's expected, knowing what the standards are and being consistent. I also, since becoming a wife, had to set limits for myself. If I want to set the example, if I want the tone of the house, I had to watch my own television watching, my own phone talking, teaching, church responsibilities, social time, that all impacts the cleaning time. I don't answer the phone if I have a scheduled activity with the kids or with cleaning. That was really hard, because you see, oh, Beth, oh, I bet she's got something cool to say. I had to say, no, you know, not now. In 30 minutes, it'll be just as cool. And I think that taught my family.
It'll be cooler.
Oh, more cool. So, anyhow. But I think that teaches your family, too, that if you want the jobs done, to finish them before you run off and do something else. And that was hard.
And it's good to train your kids that way.
Yes.
One child. Back in the old days, we had a recorder.
Yeah.
It was more the old landline.
Yeah.
The phone would ring. You'd let it go.
Yeah.
It rings and it would come on. And at dinner in particular, we would never answer the phone.
Right.
Cell phones weren't really an issue then for
right.
us. So we had one child, though. Everything was an emergency for him.
Yeah.
Okay. The Air Force one.
That was Joel.
And he, it was so funny. The phone would ring at dinner. He knew the rule. The rule was we let the recorder get it. In fact, we can hear the person.
Yes.
So if it's grandma or grandpa, will pick up. That child, the phone would ring, would jump up. The phone would ring. We know, sit down, people.
Yeah.
We're eating. So that the training. So it's
yes.
with cell phones, it's a little harder because you're
yes.
like, you want to see that text. You're like, mm-hmm.
yeah.
So, no, that's good.
Well, and I'll tell you, I put my phone in the bedroom, and the kid, and now that I'm older, I don't hear the thing go, or whatever it does, you know. And the kids will say, Mom, your phone went off 5 times. Okay, well, maybe I better go look now. But, and they do the same for me. They, when they're cleaning, we lay them all on the counter, and we just leave them there. My time with my husband, which is, you know, part of this as well, and I want to show him respect. I shut off the phone. I leave it alone or whatever else. My home counts on me giving it my first, not my last, is what kind of I wrote to myself one time, a long time ago. I found that written in my binder. And we have to be on the same page with your spouse with these tasks. And so having it written down is a great communication. Now, Lisa's a wizard with her phone. I am not a wizard with my phone. I watch you with your phone. She takes notes. She does everything in her phone. I think, I've got this stuff too. And my husband's a techie man. I need to do it more. He probably like, and I will tell you, Robert, for us, does an electronic calendar. And when they announce something in church, he's like, and then all of a sudden my thing goes off during church. Ding! Because it's on the calendar already.
You probably always see me looking at the Planning Center online app going, okay, where am I? Who's in the
nursery? No, but I mean, like, you're fast. You correct Eric sometimes with the verse because you're like,
no one heard that. I got corrected. Well, that's
the recording. That's true. No. But, so anyhow. But, you know, we have to do those things. And so the electronic calendars are great, too. Those systems really help. And there's Trello. He tried to get me to do that one. I think that's how you spell it. It's in here somewhere. Trello, something like that. I'll find it.
It's one of the things we tried.
But we tried it. Rob had us all mechanically marching right along so much that we hated it. But anyhow, because at 4 o'clock it needs to be done. But anyhow, so start your day well and finish your day well. I don't know about you, but I can get more done in the first 15 minutes in the morning before everybody else. I love being up before them. I can get a load of laundry done. I can sweep something. I can organize something. I can blah, blah, blah. And I'll look at my watch and I'm, what? 15 to 20 minutes. You know? I've got 10,000 steps in. Phew! No. Gotta make sure I put my watch on, you know? So anyhow, you know, you can get so much done first thing in the morning or last thing at night when everybody kind of goes off to their zones. Take advantage of those times. Find that time for yourself. When you have your plan, as I've talked before, plan. Everyone knows what's going on and when there is a plan. And then you have a plan for when something goes haywire. Last 2 and 3 years of my life has been haywire. My husband lost his job, I got really sick, had to have a heart cath, got an infection, I had something else happen, I don't know. You know, our house flooded, we lost all of our flooring, all because we had something put in. The house did not fall apart. I look back at that, and there was nothing missed, because we had a structure there, and everybody just kept doing their things. And because there was knew what to do, I mean, it should have been like, you know, maybe laundry coming out the ceiling or, you know, something. In my old days, when I was first a young mom, the love seat, we would have never seen it again. It would have been buried under everything in the house because that's where I put everything so I could find it. There. Had a small house, you know, 800 square feet. Love seat was the only place to put everything. So, anyhow. So having that plan will save you in crisis. It's also freedom, just like God's order. I don't know about you, but God's order and the Ten Commandments and all those things are freedom. When we know what's supposed to happen, we have complete freedom to do other stuff. You can drop things at a drop of a hat because you know when you come back, the schedule is going to be followed, picked up where it needs to be. You'll have better control of resources, everything from towels to snacks if you schedule it. If you know you're doing towels every day, or if you're doing towels every 3 days, you'll know that they're starting to run out and your family will start queuing in. If you know how many snacks you're going to serve, and you tell everybody to, you know, this is how many snacks, this is what we have to do to fit the budget, it happens, you know. And my kids today, people before, though, you know, they're older. I'm not this strict, but don't tell them. And anyhow, you know, they'll still say, can I have this snack? 21. Sure. Thanks for asking. But it teaches, I think, a responsibility and that it's planned out, because they always say, well, I didn't want to touch anything because I know you have a plan, Mom. And it almost kind of floors me because I'm thinking as they get older, I don't have so much of a plan. I just bought 10 snacks. Wasn't as strict as when they were short and weren't supposed to have this or whatever, you know. So It really, I think it carries over. I don't have people eating up things that I need to cook and whatnot. All right, then learning. This has been the most biggest blessing in my life, living far away from my family. Titus women have been my life for 30 years because my mom lived in Iowa, my grandmothers, my family, all those kinds of people, and they don't travel. My mom only came to visit me 3 times in 30 years. I just, matter of fact, had some of my family for the first time in 30 years come visit me. So Titus women have been my life. I don't know what I'd do without them. Take their advice, learn to accept their godly criticism. And I have found there are some Titus women who love to rock babies. While you do 2 hours of housework, they will gladly come rock your baby. they would love to do a Bible study with a younger woman and have lunch. I found that if I made them lunch, let them rock my baby, they would let me clean my house for 2 hours. And I got the best feedback about my parenting, how to clean, suggestions, and learned all those little tricks, you know? So I guess women can share their mistakes with you so you can glean their wisdom while they're rocking your baby. Titus women are not your peers, so they can offer you a more godly solution to your challenges. Titus women invite young families to your home to teach hospitality and how to do things. Let them practice manners and godly behavior. I want to read to you from Edith Schaefer, and then I have a Bible verse. I could read you this whole book, but you might get bored. All right, so page 110. Now this is all with everything that we've taken in so far, right? There has nothing to do with willingness to sacrifice. I'm talking about all that we do to serve our families, right? I'm not talking about luxury. This has nothing to do with wanting things rather than wanting God's will in one's life. One can be led by God to live in a miserable slum in the heart of a teeming city, but one's little spot there can have some sort of beauty of a leaf, a flower, a rock, a branch, and a candle. Whether there is a table or an orange crate upon which you arrange it, even a mud hut can have ivy growing over it and a flower arrangement within it on a flat stone, or the sawn-off plank which serves as a table. The people in the slum, the people in the other mud huts, are not going to be estranged from beauty. Washing machines or big cars may produce jealousy or envy on the part of those who cannot have them. If God puts you in the midst of people with whom he wants you to communicate, it is important not to have a huge gap materially between those people and you. There is no specific kind of house you must live in to be spiritual. Only the house the Lord has chosen for you, his chosen purpose for you, and the house with you in it. But whether it be a palace or a treehouse, beauty is important. And the very simple form of producing beauty is really one of the most universally possible expressions of the hidden art of homemaking. I must add one more sentence to this chapter. Please try something in this area today. The only way to start is to start. And I just like that last sentence. Whether every one of these areas, the only way to start is to start. And then, of course, Numbers 6:24-26, the Lord, of course, says it even better. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Janet, could you close us in prayer?
Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we just praise your name. You are holy, holy, holy. Lord, we desire to be holy. And we just thank you so much for giving us your word that teaches us how to be holy, Father. And part of being holy, Father, is managing our home. Father, so I thank you so much for Cheryl's teaching tonight, and I just pray that it would help each one of us in whichever way we need to be helped, Lord. I know I need lots of ways, and I'm just so thankful for the helpfulness of the Titus II women of Saving Grace Bible Church. Thank you so much, Father, for your grace and mercy in our lives today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
So like I said, I hope that becomes your favorite chapter.